How are we today? Good to have you with us. Happy New Year. Very good, very good. Are you ready? You ready for what this year holds? Yes, are you sure? Maybe. There's an honest one. Can I take you back to 1936? Anyone alive in 1936? A couple of people. You were, Dan. What was happening in 1936? Who can remember a significant event in 1936? Your fifth birthday. Very good. And that was a significant birthday, Peter. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyone else? 1936. Someone said it before, but weren't brave enough. The Olympic Games. It was in Berlin. There was a guy called Jesse Owens. Who remembers Jesse Owens? Yeah, an amazing, amazing athlete. How many people know that in the long jump, Jesse Owens failed his first two jumps? Failed. As he went back to his run-up, another athlete, Juz Long, I'm probably saying his name incorrectly, so my apologies to Juz, was the German athlete. In front of the Supreme Commander, Adolf Hitler, this German athlete, who was in the gold medal position, turns to Jesse Owens and says, "Why don't you put your marker back an inch or two and you won't foul?" Jesse Owens listens to him and goes on and wins the gold medal. Oh, if only he had kept his mouth shut. But he didn't. There was something else in him that took him to that other point. Okay, I'll bring you forward a little bit. Now, I take Peter, this will be your 25th birthday, because in 1956, the Australian Championships was taking place for the mile. There was two runners. One guy called Clark. What was his first name? Ron Clark. And another guy called John Landy. It was the Australian Championships. Last lap. John Landy's about to put the foot down. Ron Clark stumbles. They tangle. Ron Clark falls into the infield. John Landy stays on his feet, keeps going. But Ron Clark's lying in the ground. John Landy turns around and picks him up and says, "Come on, mate, let's go. Last lap." John Landy goes on from there to win that race after stopping and picking up his mate. Great sportsmanship. Some of us might be going, "Yeah, but that's 1956, Donnie." 2012 Olympics. A Spanish guy, I will not try and say his name. We'll call him Alfredo. Spanish guy. He's coming second in the marathon. Another guy from another country in Africa, who I won't pretend to say his name either, is winning. He thinks he's past the finish line. Anyone remember watching this? He thinks he's finished past the finish line and he stops running and he's looking at his watch going, "Oh, wow, that's a PB and in the Olympic Games, I've just got the gold medal." The guy coming second comes up to him and realizes that he's got another 20 meters to go. Instead of bolting past him and going, "Yoo-hoo, bad luck, sucker," he grabs him from behind and pushes him over the finish line. This is 2012. So that guy wins the gold medal and he gets the silver. Everyone who knew Alfredo knew that was the sort of person he was. His coach, on the other hand, was not very understanding. Silver medal. Amazing men, amazing competitors, amazing results, but amazing hearts, hey? We've talked about some sporting things. Beginning of the year, how'd you like a little bit of a pep talk? Would you like someone to speak into your life about 2017? Well, I've got a DVD for us to listen to. It's from the president. No, not President Obama. This is from the kid president, a little kid this high. Have a listen to what he has to say to us. Thanks, Michaela. All right, kids, thank you for coming up the front. How you guys doing? You good? Excellent. Okay, I need some help. You got your thinking hats on? I know it's the first day of January. That's it. Good, Jono. Put your thinking caps on. All right, here we go. Ready? People in the Bible who just never gave up, who never gave up. Who are they? Any ideas? Who never gave up? Yes, Elijah. God. No, that's exactly right. God never gives up. His mercies are new every morning. He never gives up on us. Who else? Some of the characters from the Old Testament. Who didn't give up? Who? Joshua? Yeah, Joshua. He certainly didn't give up. He was a young man, went into foreign land, and then went through the desert, and then into the promised land. Very good. His offside of Caleb. We're going to learn a bit about Caleb this month coming up. Caleb, at the age of 80, said to Joshua, "Give me the tough stuff. I'll let the young fellas take the easy stuff. I'll do the hard work." At the age of 80. How cool is that? Yeah, speaks into my life because I'm almost 80 now, so I'm catching up. Yeah, all right. Dave, you had someone? Joseph. Joseph never gave up. I mean, he was a little bit of a sport brat at home, you know, dad spoiling and giving him all the special clothes and all that sort of stuff, and him telling him all about the dreams and everything. But when he was thrown down a pit, he didn't give up. And when he was sold into slavery, he didn't give up. And when he even rose to the top of Potiphar's house, he still was honoring God. And then he was framed to doing something that he didn't do and was put in jail. He still didn't give up. And it is a great story. Well done, Joseph. Excellent. Anyone else? Yes. David, he never gave up. I was reading about David this week in my quiet times. Yeah, he took on a giant 10 feet tall. 10 feet tall? And that's okay if he was 6 foot something, but he was only a little boy. His brother said to him when he came to the battle lines, "What are you doing here? You should be looking after those few sheep." And he went, "No, I'm here to take on Goliath. 10 foot, big, solid man. No problem. God's on my side." Very good. David was excellent. What about Noah? Do you think Noah ever gave up? How long did Noah take to build the ark? Adults? 20 years? 100? 100, okay. 100 years, 120 years. Long time to build the ark. So how do you think Noah's days went? "What are you doing today, Noah?" "Build an ark." All right. Next day. "What are you doing today, Noah?" "Build an ark." How many years? 120 years. Sorry about that, Joseph. 120 years. Every day, what are you doing? "Build an ark." "What are you doing?" "Build an ark." "What are you doing?" "Building an ark." "What are you doing?" "Taking the day off. I'm over building an ark." Hey, he's just building an ark for a long time. In the middle of it, preaching to everybody, telling them that there's a great flood coming. They're all looking around. There's no rain, Noah. There's no water. What are you doing? Building an ark. He never gave up. Never gave up. Who else? One more. Let's see who else we've got here. I've got some drawings for you today. All right, let's see how we went. Oh, Daniel. Daniel. Daniel never gave up, did he? Daniel in the lion's den. So we got that one there for Daniel in the lion's den. We said David and Goliath. So there's David and Goliath. So you might want to colour that one in. What about Moses? Moses. He never gave up. Took the people through. And we hid Joseph. Who did Joseph? Who said Joseph? There he is there. So we've got some colouring in there for you. You got them. Pencils are in that bag. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all those people in the Bible who never gave up, who were constant in their faith towards you. They might have had good days and bad days, but Lord, they followed through to the end of the race. And we thank you for that. They may not have seen what they saw was coming in a prophecy, but they never gave up. And Father, today we as your people don't want to give up. We don't want to have quitting as an option. We want to keep moving forward in the plan that you have for us, Lord Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As some of you may be aware, James and Heather are down in Melbourne over Christmas and New Year. James jumped in his truck today, early this morning, and was on his way home. He hasn't made it in time to do communion, so so I'll be doing communion this morning. I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, but I'm reading from the Message. So maybe just listen today, unless you have the Message there. There's a couple of points that the Message brings out that I want to highlight. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans that are cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who began and finished this race that we're in. Study how he did it. because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish, and with God, he could put up with everything and anything that came along the way. The cross, the shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over the story one more time, item by item, that long litany of hostility that he plowed through that will shoot adrenaline into your souls that you may finish the race. It's a passage that is very, very familiar to us, Hebrews chapter 12, powerful verses. But those verses are challenging, aren't they? There is a whole host of people cheering us on. We're not in this race by ourselves. There's others that cheer us on. There's people in this very room that will cheer you on and will just get in there and put wind underneath your wings. But more than that, there are others that will be cheering us on. Veterans who have been there and done that. People that have gone the extra way. But there is a challenge for us to trim off that spiritual fat, to get rid of the stuff that stops us going the distance. But the main thing is that we keep our eyes on Jesus, who both began it and finished it. What did he say, his final words? It is finished. Jesus ran the race. Was it an easy race for him? Not at all. I like Elijah said, God never gave up. God never stopped. Jesus never gave up. Jesus never stopped. Always pushed through. Were there times where he cried out to God and said, yeah, this is getting pretty tough. If there's another way. And when God said, no, there's no other way, Jesus said, your will be done. And that's a prayer for all of us that we can take through. There's a great story here that we can take hold of. What was it that Jesus was focused towards? He was focused towards the cross. Because it was the cross that what sets us free, that we may know forgiveness, that we may be brought back into relationship again with Jesus and God the Father. So when we start flagging and our faith starts dropping down, let's go back to the good old story and read it again and again, because it'll shoot adrenaline into your soul that you can do it, that you can pray through, you can push through, you can stand in the gap, you can be all that God has called you to be. One of the things that helps us to do that is to reflect on what Jesus went through, to remember that it wasn't an easy journey for him, that his body was pierced, the shame of the cross. Sometimes we forget all of the spiritual connotations of every step of the cross that Jesus went through, from the crown of thorns to the scourging of the whip to the actual cross itself to the beatings that he copped. His blood was shed for our sins that we might know forgiveness. And we take upon the body, that we take a part of what God has for us. It's significant. And so today, being the first day of the year, what an opportunity to share communion together. So kids, if you want to go back with your families and come back down in a minute, but if you want to be with your families for communion and you can take the bread and the cup together as a family, that would be pretty cool. A lot of the time you guys are up in children's church when we do communion and you get to unfortunately miss out. But today we're all together, so you get to be a part of it. Now, families, you may want to just hold on to the cup and the bread together and just have a little prayer, and someone in your group might want to pray for each other or for your whole. Or you may even want to take the opportunity to say, okay, resolution like Cindy, okay, this year as a family, we're going to do this. You might want to join with someone near you and take part of this. So let's just pray, shall we? Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you kept your eyes on the goal. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you that your love for each and every one of us was just amazing. Just amazing. Thank you, Father, that you opened the way that we can be forgiven. Thank you, Father, that you opened the way that we might be back in relationship with God the Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit would be in and through our lives. Father, today, the first day of January 2017, we worship you, we acknowledge you as Lord God, And we want to say, Father, fill us anew for the year that is ahead. We lay down our lives again before you. And we pick up the cross and we follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen. How are you kids doing? You doing well? All right. You got your thinking caps on again? Okay, these are tricky questions. You may not get many of them, but hey, you might. Maybe the adults will get a couple. I don't know. We'll see how we go, all right? The first one I'm going to give you, there's a little bit of a clue if you listen to Kid President, okay? So if you listen to that one, you might get who this person is. This person was cut from his high school basketball team. Michael Jordan. Very good. Very good. Excellent work. You were listening. Good stuff. And he did that really cool TV thingy, Space Jam. Apparently he played basketball pretty well too. And some say it was the greatest basketball ever played, although there's a young guy playing over there at the moment who has done something that he never did, and it was a unanimous MVP last season, so that's pretty cool. Okay, here's another one for you. Ready? This guy, now think back to last year. James and I did a whole bit about this guy. Was rejected by his first 27 book publishers. 27. Who do you think that was? You got an idea, Dave? Dr. Seuss. Very good. He was rejected 27 times and yet became one of the greatest, if not the greatest, child authors of all time. All right, this guy, adults, you might know this one. His fiance died. His first business went belly up. He lost 8 elections. Went on to become the 16th president of the United States. 16th. Oh, come on. I gave it away. Abraham Lincoln. Very good, Richie. Well done. I've got no chocolates to hand out today, so sorry. It's a New Year's resolution. No junk food. We'll see how long that lasts, hey? All right. You ready for this one? This person was cut from his newspaper editorials and journalism because he lacked imagination and had no original ideas. Anyone know who that was? Walt Disney. Very good. Yes. Yeah. No imagination and no original ideas. Walt Disney. Well, yeah, a bit of egg on their face. Okay. Next one. Their first recording label that they went to said, no, I can't remember the exact definitions, but your music does not relate to the young people and no one will ever like it. The Beatles, very good. Yeah, oops, bong bong. That was a bit of a bad one. All right, here's one for you. Geniuses. This guy could not speak until he was 4 years old. That's all I'm giving you. Einstein. Who said it? Einstein, Albert Einstein, very good. Couldn't speak till he was 4 years old and couldn't read till he was 7. How about that? Hey. I couldn't speak till I was 2, so that means I'm half as good as Albert Einstein? Yeah, you like that idea? There's a pattern there. All right, one last one. You ready? This guy got a note sent home from his teachers to his parents saying that he should no longer come to school. He has no understanding of learning or education. And it wasn't Donnie Johnson, by the way. but he has a very personable personality and will probably be good in a people industry. Who was that? This guy is apparently related to me somehow, according to my grandma, who's passed away, so I can't argue with her. Created something that we use every day. You switch it on and off. Creator of the electric light bulb, Thomas Edison. Yeah, got a note home from his parents saying he'd never achieved anything. Oops. Don't people get it wrong sometimes? Yeah, yeah. And an interesting thing is if you do some studies on all of those people, you'll find out how incredible they truly were. But if you do some other studies like on Michael Jordan, we all remember the great things that Michael Jordan did. But there's an interesting study that there's about 12 times that he missed the winning shot for his team. You'd think, after knowing Michael Jordan and everything about him, if the minute's in there and you need those 2 points, throw it to Michael. He'll win us the game. Well, not always. If you have your Bibles there, I'd like you to open up to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I'm reading from the NIV today, so if you have a different version, you'll need to read along. Acts chapter 16, reading from verse 16. Once when they were going to a place of prayer, this is Paul and Silas. So where are Paul and Silas going? Place of prayer. They're off to a prayer meeting. They're going to prayer. That sounds like a pretty normal, mundane thing to do, doesn't it? Just off to prayer. Nothing special. Not a great evangelistic event. Doesn't look like any disaster on the horizon with this start, does it? Off to prayer. When they were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future, she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God." That's not so bad, is it? They're walking around a new town, a new place. This is a little bit of social media going on, isn't there? Like, she's yelling out, "Come and get these guys. They're the speakers and the representatives of the Most High God. Hear ye, come and listen to these blokes." That's not so bad. I wouldn't mind someone walking behind me in the shopping centre. "Come and listen to Donnie. He's a good guy. Come on down. Come to Quantum Life on Sunday morning. It's going to be a great time." With good social media. Here we go. Let's see what happens. "These are guys are telling you the way to be saved." Even good message. "She kept this up for many days." That could be a little bit annoying. "Finally, Paul became so annoyed. You could just imagine him getting cranky, couldn't you? So annoyed that he turned around and he said to the spirit, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.' And at that moment, the spirit left her." Obedient, completely, done. No longer telling the future. "When her owners realized that their hope of making more money was gone, they were cranky." They were not happy. "They seized Paul and Silas and they dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them there to the magistrates and said..." What did they say? Did they tell them the truth? Did they say, "These guys just cast a demon out of our fortune-telling slave girl"? No, this is what they said. "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar." Now, they threw their city, their lives into an uproar, "by advocating that customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack. So going off to a prayer meeting, praying for someone well-meaningly, has ended up in a massive upheaval. The attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet and stocks. Not a good day, ladies and gentlemen. Not a good day. Railroaded, beaten, stripped. Not good. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came off. We've sung that today, haven't we? The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had all escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights and they rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And then they brought them out and they said, "Sirs, what must we do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, and you and your household." Pretty powerful story, hey? On their way to a prayer meeting, a little bit of annoyance, big annoyance, bad day, getting worse and worse. But they finished the day at about midnight praying and singing psalms or praise to God. I don't know about you, but when my day seems to get worse and worse and worse and worse, I tend not to go to prayer and praise songs. I tend to get cranky and other things. But this is an amazing example, isn't it? Paul and Silas. When the going got tough, they went to prayer. When the going got tough, they went and saw what God was wanting them to do. We can talk about Jesus and what he did. He did exactly the same. The amount of times that he went to prayer. Before he chose the 12, he went up onto the hillside and prayed all night through the night, seeking God's face on making that massive decision. Paul and Silas, in terrible conditions, beaten. Amazingly, that shameful thing that they'd been through. But yet, prayer and praying through. They didn't give up. Quitting was not an option for them. They continued to push through. They continued to see what God had for them to do. That jailer was important to God, amen? He was in a place where he probably wasn't outside hearing the fortune teller saying, these men are men of God, come and listen to them and you will be saved. But he might have heard the rumors around the place. And so here in this jail with other prisoners, Paul and Silas are praying and singing. And the others are listening to them. So their sphere of influence is this area of the jail. And so when God turns up, and isn't it amazing how God turns up and he just turns everything upside down. The doors flung open. The chains were loosed. That's a significant event happening in those lives right there, isn't it? And then they don't escape. And the jailer comes out and he turns straight to them and says, what must I do to be saved? Show me the way, guys, because you got something I want to be a part of. Because of their persistence, because of their resilient attitude to push through, to go forward and not backwards, to continue to look to God Almighty, to keep their journey, their eyes on the author and the perfecter of their faith, to keep moving forward. They saw an amazing miracle take place in the jailer's life and in the jailer's family's life. And I'm guessing a few of the other prisoners would have been going, can I have a prayer too? There's something going on here that is significant. For you and for me, what do we do with our lives? How do you and I go through things? Jesus, we just read about this morning in Hebrews chapter 12, in the example of going to the cross, he knew what was coming and he kept moving forward to that place. He knew the cost of his obedience to God the Father. He knew, but he continued forward. For you and for me, what is it that God has for us in 2017? What has he got for you and for me? In Kid President today, he talked about your awesomeness and bringing that through. What is it that will bring that through for you? He also said, what is it that will cause you to dance? I like that as well. What is it that's going to come into your life that you might be able to get hold of and bring joy into people's lives? I reckon if any of you saw me dance, you'd have joy or laughter. Yeah, you know. But what is it that's going to get you to that point that joy flows out of you that causes you to get action, to see action flow, to not just sit back and be boring, but to say, hold on a sec, God is real. He's working in and through my life. What is it I've got in my hands? What am I going to be obedient to in 2017? Quitting is not an option. As I said earlier, we're going to talk about Caleb in a couple of weeks' time. Caleb, at the age of 80, we all know this story, don't we? And as I get closer to 80, I realize that it's so true. Caleb, at the age of 80, and picture this story. It's like, here's all the tough lands, here's all the easy lands, and Caleb turns and says, see the high lands up there? I'll take them. I'll take the tough stuff. And I reckon there's a whole bunch of 40-year-olds going, yeah, I'll take the bit down by the river and the surf, and that looks good down there. But Caleb goes, no, I'll take the tough stuff. At the age of 80, quitting was not an option for Caleb. He was pushing through. Now, I acknowledge, along with all of us, that we have good and bad days. All of those people that we talked about in the Old Testament, they had good and bad days. Joseph chucked down a well, sold into slavery, again, put into jail for something that he didn't do, raised up, second all powerful in the land of Egypt. God had a plan and a purpose for his life, but boy, wasn't it a journey. Wasn't it a journey? But what did Joseph learn along that journey, along those tough experiences? Was God working on his character? Was God working through him? Was Joseph perfect as a teenager? No. No. And when he got through, God was still working. That forgiveness that he gave to his brothers, that's an incredible story, isn't it? That is incredible. You want to know about forgiveness, then you stand as the second powerful person in all of Egypt and have your brothers come in who threw you into a hole, sold you into slavery, your brothers, and you bring forgiveness. What about Noah? In a time where the world was turning its back on God, hand over fist, Noah hears a word from God. And we've seen movies, and some of the movies are spin-offs and laughing about it and, you know, not the seriousness of it. But could you imagine? Noah gets a word from God and says to build an ark. To build an ark. And then he does it day after day after day. I sometimes think some of my work is so, you know, again and again, writing another sermon, going to this and doing this. It's just the same again and again. But it's a lot different to building an ark every day. What are you doing today? Building an ark. I'm being faithful to what God's called me to do. You might be Joseph, you might be Noah, or you might be David who got to do amazing things, fight Goliath, anointed to take over, but honoring God, didn't take the throne by force. Didn't give up, but boy, wasn't it a journey? Living in a cave with his men. All the refugees from around the area coming and joining him as his team, but not touching God's anointed, waiting for God to open the door, not taking it upon himself when he had the opportunity. How many times? Twice at least. Waiting on God. Certainly not quitting, because quitting's not an option for us following Jesus. What does Jesus say to us? He says, lay down your life. Pick up the cross. Follow me. What does that mean for you in 2017? It'll mean something different for you, different for me. But I pray that you will pray into it and you'll realize that God has an amazing journey for you this year. There will be amazing things for you to learn. Amazing opportunities will raise up and you'll get to be a part of what God's doing. End of last year, finished a tough month. December was not an easy month in many ways, but in amongst it there were some incredible highlights. Yesterday, after seeing Kim struggle from Christmas Day, being there with him yesterday when the doctor said, yeah, okay, you can go home, just seeing the smile on his face, going home to his bed, his air conditioning, to watch his TV, to be with his wife and family when they can come by anytime they want. He was very excited. He's still got a tough road ahead, and there's some more dark nights ahead, I guess, for Kim, but just to be there was a highlight to finish the year off. To walk with people going through tough times is an honour in itself, isn't it? But we need to keep moving forward, to keep our eyes on Jesus. Quitting is not an option. There's some good stuff ahead. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, thank you for the opportunity of today. Thank you for the good things that you've got in store for us. Thank you for the lessons, Lord Jesus, that will help us in areas of our lives that we need that help in. Father, for Cindy, I pray into that you will help her to be intentional in all those areas of her life. And for everyone else, Lord God, who has made some sort of resolution or a commitment before you to say, well, this year, Lord, I want to get into prayer more. Or this year, I want to get into your word more. Or this year, I'm going to go back into fasting as a regular habit. Or this year, I want to, you know, be more committed to these sort of areas, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would fill us anew with your spirit to help us follow through on those areas. Father, for those of us who have got those rough edges still that we need the work of your spirit to work in and through, Lord, may you continue to work on us. Father, for the wounds that have got us in 2016, I pray for your healing, whether those wounds be physical, and I know there are some today carrying physical hurt, physical pain from injuries, from conditions, and I just pray for your healing power upon them right now. Father, for the emotional scars, for the emotional wounds from 2016. Lord, I also pray. Father, I love your word where you say where people grieve, where they mourn, whether they're heartbroken, and you are with them at those times. I pray, Lord God, that each of us that have had those tougher times will know your oil, your joy, your peace, your ability to help us through each and every one of those steps. So thank you for that, Father. Open our eyes, Lord Jesus, that we may see you more and more each day. In Jesus' name, amen.